gospel. When you find, by the way, it's supposed to be something brutal hot today. We had one day last week. You know, the older I get, the less I can take the heat. And we haven't even had that many hot days yet. But I'm getting like Mark Pelletier. We had that one day last week. It was hot and muggy, whatever day it was. I went outside. I was outside for 1 hour. And I said, that's about enough of summer for me right there. And I went back in. I can't take the humidity. Now, I've been sick and I have a hard time breathing, but I think I sound better today than I did last week. I feel it, but I still can't sing. And I got that pulse nasal thing going, so you might have to forgive me even a little bit today. But how do you tell people in New York, I hope it doesn't get as hot today as it was the other day. Oh, it was muggy. I couldn't hardly breathe. Anyways, let's stand. Today and tomorrow, actually, I think. Probably have a nice thunderstorm. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we'll read the first 9 verses or 10 verses here. Yeah, read down through verse 10 and we'll pause. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates. Now, I'm going to stop there, but I would encourage you to read the remainder of that chapter just sometime today. Let's pray. Father, it's always good to be in the house of God, the fellowship around the Word of God, and some of the great songs that we sing and hear sung, and we thank you and we praise you. And as we come, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts today, especially the dads. But what I'm going to get into is applicable for every person who names the name of Christ as their Savior. And so I ask that the Spirit of God will work and move. I pray that he would convict people, whether they're lost to be saved or whether they're saved to get right with God. But the Spirit of God will work in a mighty way. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Everywhere in our country today, people are celebrating Father's Day or honoring their dads, or at least most of them are anyway. Brother Mark Brosser and I were talking about homes a little bit on Wednesday night. What got us into the conversation was I mentioned that a woman had told me once, and she had left her husband, and she made a comment that this will never affect my children. I thought to myself, what kind of a stupid statement? That's just bizarre. But she's wrong. You probably know that. But you know, self-deception is the worst deception. She probably, even though she's wrong, she probably did believe that. But we were talking about that a little bit, Mark and I, and how that does affect people's children when mom and dad break up. And then someone will come up with something like this. Well, Pastor, I know one where the children turned out just fine. I'm not going to argue with that. You probably do know one. Maybe two. I know one as well that grew up without a dad, my wife. But you know what? Not everybody does. And the statistics reveal that the majority that grow up in single-parent homes aren't as successful as those that grow up with a mom and with a dad together. Now, you can say, well, I know one. Well, that's nice, but that's not a, I wouldn't hang my hat on that and make that a philosophy of my life. A home where mom and dad stay together, the children are better off. Now, don't say, well, Pastor, you just preached on this recently on Mother's Day about abusive situations. And all. Okay, if you're getting pounded on, all right, then leave. But I'm talking about in a normal situation. There is more to being a dad, though, than just fathering children. And it's God's desire that we have good dads, that we have godly dads, and that they're men of character who practice what we just read there in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, let me say something. Part of that character is a desire to please God, a desire to teach your children to please God as well. So a good man, a good godly Christian dad, is a dad who wants to please the Lord, and he's a man of godly character. And he teaches his children the very same truths. Now, some people, well, Pastor, are we going to let our kids grow up and they're going to decide for themselves? You know, that's not a biblical philosophy. Verse 7, it said, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. We're supposed to teach our children the things of the Lord. Now, we never made our children, per se, do anything like, we never forced them, you must go read your Bible. We didn't ever make them do that. Hopefully they saw us reading our Bibles and knew that it was something that we did, but we didn't make them do that. We didn't ever force them to sing in the choir, but they all liked music I never liked music, but they all liked music for whatever reason, so they got into the choir and they were in patch and they were here. And, you know, when Brother Marshall was here, I liked what he said one time. He said, you know, when I grew up, I did grow up with a drug problem. Remember him saying that? He said, yeah, my parents drugged me to church on Sunday morning, and they drugged me to church on Sunday night, and they drugged me to church on Wednesday night. There was a mission conference. They drugged me to church, and if the evangelist was there, they drug us to revival meetings. We had a real drug problem. Our parents drug us all over. The church had the church doors open. They drug us there. But we didn't force our kids to do anything. Now, why is that? By the way, it wasn't a discussion when we got up on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday. You think we should go to church today? It's just assumed. That's what you do. You just get up and you go to church. You don't have to discuss anybody. You don't have to tell anybody. You might have to tell somebody, hey, get out of bed. It's time to get up and get ready for church. But I always have left early on Sunday morning before I was a pastor. I drove a bus to pick up the bus kids, so I was usually gone. Once in a while, they went with me on that, but they didn't have to. It's like my grandkids. They all want me to pick them up with the bus for vacation Bible school. They're the first ones on, and they're the last ones off. And they're ready to go the next day. And they're still the first ones on, and all through the week. I don't know what there is about riding on that crazy bus. Then some nights I've got mine, Amber's, Cole, and it's like, good night. Then I put them all in my truck and take them home. I don't get home till like 11:30 at night some nights taking those kids all over. They just wanted to do it. So that's the way my kids were. That's the way our grandkids are turning out to be. But that's what they want to do. And you say, why didn't you just force them? Because we wanted them to have a relationship with the Lord and not just live by a set of rules. There's more to Christianity than a set of rules. God wants hearts that are thirsty to do his will. Make your way to Matthew chapter 15 if you haven't. I'll get there in just a moment. But being a Christian is a relationship. That's what it is. And we're to teach our children about that relationship. Now, too many have been raised, and especially back in the 70s and 80s, been raised on rules, and they fall later because even though they know all the rules, they don't have a relationship. It's not, rules are good, but rules don't keep people. A relationship keeps people. Now, notice what happened here. The Pharisees were that way, you know. If there was one thing, and I'm going to preach mostly on this morning, that if I could warn every dad and every believer against, it would be hypocrisy. It would be very high on my list. If I had to make a whole list, it would be one of the up there pretty good. You're not a good godly dad when you're full of hypocrisy. You're just not. You're not a good godly woman. You're not a good godly child. If hypocrisy, if your life is marked by it, it's just not a good thing. Being a hypocrite will harm our children in their character and in their relationship with the Lord. Now, in the days of Jesus Christ, a group of religious leaders, we'll read about them here in a moment, they're called Pharisees, they thought they were being holy because they were keeping the law better than others. In fact, keeping the law got them to be more important than having attitudes that pleased God. Jesus said about their attitudes and about their actions, read along with me, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. I got to be honest. I don't always wash my hands when I eat. If I'm busy outside working and my wife brings me a sandwich and a cold drink, I'm not going to stop and go inside and wash my hands. I'm just going to eat it. I'm not a Pharisee. I'm breaking the rules. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Jesus says to them, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. More specifically, you might say the traditions of men. Now, God is looking for hearts that are thirsty to do his will. By the way, what is success? Success is finding the will of God and doing it and living it. In Psalm 42, the Bible says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? We have a thirst and a hunger for the Lord. The fact that the scribes and Pharisees united in this attack on the Lord indicates how serious their purpose was. They couldn't stand Jesus, hated him. It's likely that this committee represented the leaders of the Sanhedrin. Now, their accusation in verse 2 was that of, let me read it again. Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of elders? It didn't say they were breaking the Bible. It didn't say they were breaking the law. It says they're transgressing the tradition of elders, the tradition of men, rules. For they wash not their hands when they eat. That was the accusation. About washing hands, and it has nothing to do with cleanliness or spirituality. It was an outward thing. They meant literally wash your hands. Now, I want to look at Mark chapter 7 in just a moment as well. These guys had ceremonies and traditions and man-made rules that were like, you know, off the chart. They still have some of them. You go to Israel and how many of you put cream in your coffee? Okay, whole pile of you, put your hands down. You couldn't have coffee at the dinner table because there's meat in that room. And if there's meat in there, no milk is allowed. How many have cheeseburgers? Put your hands down. I hate to break your heart. Not in Israel. Cheese is not mixed with meat. You don't eat the cow. You don't eat the calf with the cow. That's what they come up with all this. The elevator buttons. On Sabbath, that elevator over there is for the Israelite people, and you don't want to get on it. Why not? It stops at every floor. Why? Well, you don't want to have to push the button in and do so much extra work on the Sabbath. I'm like, really? This is going to be like overdoing it? So those are traditions of men. I have a hard time finding any indication anywhere in the Bible that pushing a button on an elevator is overdoing it. You would think the frustration after stopping at every floor would be worse than pushing the button. Nonetheless, they still have some of these rules that are a little bit on the bizarre side. And by the way, if you go outside and get a cup of coffee and drink it with your cream in it, you can stay outside. But if you bring it into the diner and they got a girl sitting at the door watching it, and if she looks in your coffee and says cream, can't bring that in here. It is like crazy. I drink mine black most of the time, so it's not a problem. But then came together unto him the Pharisees, verse 1, and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands, oft eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. When they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have not received the hold, is the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and the tablets and all that stuff. Now, it was a ceremonial washing of these rigid Orthodox Jews. It was bad enough that Jesus and his disciples mingled with the outcasts and sinners. Now they don't even seek to be purified. They don't even wash their hands. And so by making this accusation, Jesus deals with the foundation of their religious faith. To them, the Pharisees, if Jesus rejects this, he is a heretic. Now, where did these traditions come from? Well, they were handed down from the teachers of previous generations. These traditions were originally what we refer to as the oral law, but not the written law, which, said the rabbis, Moses gave to the elders and were passed down to the nation. Now, the oral law then got written down in what they refer to as the Mishnah. You can look that up. The Mishnah became more important and more authoritative than the original law of Moses. By the way, there's a lot of religious groups that do that. They come up with books and things that become more authoritative than the Bible. So the Lord began with the accusation there back in Matthew chapter 15, and he said in verse 3, "Why do you transgress the commandment of God by your traditions?" They were breaking God's law by practicing their own traditions, or by practicing their oral laws. Now, as I grew up as a Catholic, my mom was very strict into Catholicism. She could have cared less what the Bible said. She told me that one day. She only cared what the church said. That's the traditions of men in many ways, and it's still happening even today. So that meant this. Now, at verses 4 through 6, go ahead and read, I'm not going to read it all again. He gave an illustration, and this is actually referred to as the practice of Corban, and that's what it meant, and it meant a gift. Now, that meant if a Jew wanted to escape some financial obligation, they had an obligation, he would declare his goods to be Corban, or a gift to God. And now he was free from other obligations, such as caring for his parents. That's the illustration there, and it said in verse 6, that you might be free. And so what that meant was, I can just claim this as a gift and say it's Corban, and there. Now I am free from the responsibility of taking care of my parents. Now who's right? The elders aren't right on that. The tradition of men's not right on that. They've come up with this thing that they came up with called Corban. In so doing, the person was losing the power of God's word on his life and thus hurting the character, his character, and he was missing God's blessings. Now, Jesus applied this in verses 7 through 11. He makes it clear that obedience to the tradition made a person disobedient to the word of God and thus proved the tradition to be false. For instance, it says in they knew the law, so they would have known Exodus 20:12. Honor thy father and my mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That was God's word. The tradition of men says, here's a way for you to get out of that. And the Pharisees, the religious leading people, found a way to violate God's word simply by calling it Corban. Now, that's just ridiculous. Now, that is at the very core of hypocrisy. Teach us to honor father and mother. Corban rule makes a person dishonor their father and mother. Tradition is something external, while God's truth is internal. It's in the heart. People obey tradition to please men and gain status. We obey the Bible to gain God's favor and God's status. Now, we obey the word to please God. God wants us to give him our hearts, not just our lip service. And our children, God wants us to teach our children to give them their hearts and not just lip service, because we believe in the heart. We do more than just believe in the head. We believe in the heart. We love from the heart. We sing from the heart. We obey from the heart. We give from the heart, 2 Corinthians 9:7. We'll get there after a while. No wonder David said in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart. The disciples, they were astonished by what Jesus said back here in verses 12 through 14. I'll read that again. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard thy saying? They said, Jesus, you really made those guys mad. He answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Now, when it comes to the spiritual realm, is a dad or is a mom, you better not be blind to the laws of God. You might not say, yeah, well, that doesn't apply to me, and find loopholes and ways around every little thing. Now, we know that sometimes things happen. I understand life happens. But, boy, you better be careful of that. David wrote, created me a clean heart, O God. They knew the difference between clean and unclean, by the way, from Leviticus chapter 11. So here's the bigger concern. Jesus has just upset the Pharisees and was certain to create serious problems. You know what? Jesus wasn't worried about them. He could have cared less about, I don't mean that he didn't care about their souls, but he didn't care about their opinion. He didn't care about the traditions of men. The spirit of being a Pharisee and tradition and legalism and hypocrisy and these external things, it lives on. We are to please God, and we are to teach our children to please God. And when we live as a hypocrite, we do the dead opposite. And when we live as a hypocrite, even to the outside world, we do the dead opposite. It's easy to be a Pharisee. Act the part. People expect you to act like. Be a pretender. Think you know it all. Act like you know it all. And this is why dictating, and why legalism, if you want to use that phrase, why dictating how people should be can be so dangerous. Because they know the rules. But that doesn't mean they have it in the heart. And so they walk around and they'll say something like, let me tell you what spirituality is. You look like this. You do this. And when you look like this and when you talk like this, you know what you are? You're spiritual. No, you're not. Not if it's not from here, you're not spiritual. You can look. By the way, everybody looks spiritual here today. That doesn't mean you're spiritual. Everybody looks like you live a godly life. It's easy here. How about tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday? Because if you look spiritual here, but you're not really spiritual in here, you know what you qualify to be? A hypocrite. Exactly what you qualify to be. Now, the Pharisees, just so you know, they had 613 rules. All the tradition of men. It's hard for me to believe that any of those Pharisees could have kept all 613 of them. By the way, I've never seen the list. But God's interested in relationship, not in rules. Now, when you have the right relationship, then you know what happens? You make the right rules because you want to please the Lord, and it'll come from the heart. Legalism and teaching people to live by rules destroys the relationship. That's why we never really forced our kids to do anything. Now, I want to talk to you for the rest of the time that I have. I got to shorten this introduction down for the next message. This is like practice right now, you know. And that was way too long of an introduction. Wow. Anyhow, I want to talk about hypocrisy. I want to define it. Hypocrisy is pretending something on the outside that is not real on the inside. That's all it is. It's you're pretending something on the outside that is not genuine, real on the inside. You project an outward image altogether different from your true self, revealing only what you want other people to see. So the Pharisees would walk around looking all spiritual. They prayed openly. They made sure everybody saw them give of their alms, you know, all that stuff. And the thing of the matter is, it was all for outward show. Now, how is hypocrisy or being a hypocrite, how is it demonstrated? When you pretend to obey. First of all, it's when you pretend to obey, but inwardly you're rebellious. Outwardly you look good, but inwardly you hate it. I can't stand it. We go listen to the Bible all the time. Why do we do this? But you're here. You're a young person. You have the same drug problem that Brother Marshall had. And so you're here, and you don't have a choice, and you look good, and you look like you're paying attention. That doesn't mean you are. Inward, you don't have a watch on because you use your cell phone, so you don't wear a watch. Some of us still wear a watch, all right? But so you can't be doing this. But you're like, man, I wish the preacher hurry up and get done. Man, I wish the preacher hurry up and get done. I got something to do today, and I want to go to that. That's being a hypocrite. Identifying other people's problems, secondly, and not seeing my own. Did you know we all have problems? We all have problems. Pretending to love when we don't really love. Christians are to be known for their love, but pretending to love when you don't really. When you say one thing and think another or do another. Like a dad who tells their kids, don't drink, don't get involved in alcohol. I know I'm running to the refrigerator, it's going to be 90 plus today and I'm going to get a can of beer, but don't you ever do this. I know I'm putting a little tobacco between my in here, but don't you do that. I'm going to light a cigarette and I'm going to curse and swear, but don't you do that thing. Okay, that doesn't work raising children. It just doesn't do it. Not sharing my weaknesses can be a form of hypocrisy. Not sharing my weaknesses for fear of rejection. Asking others to do what I am unwilling to do. That's something that ought not to be. Pretending to be morally pure when having lustful thoughts and desires and actions. Pretending to be close to God while you have no desire to be with Him. No desire to get in His Word. No desire to pray. No desire to witness and to share and talk about Him all the time. Pretending to be close to God while you have no desire to be with Him. Not being honest. That was in our text in verse 8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But how does hypocrisy affect relationships? I mean, it is Father's Day. It's a little bit to do with our relationship as a dad to our children. You can't have a good one if you're pretending. It keeps us from knowing what's really inside. We've put a box around our life and around our heart, and we're not going to let anybody in there. So we can never even fix anything because we don't let anything out. Spouses won't trust one another. You're always looking over your back all the time. So hypocrisy prevents openness with others. And if you're pretending or hiding your true self, it keeps you from being open. And what you're doing is you're living a lie. Now, relationships work when there is honesty and when there is openness. They don't work when there's lying and deceit and hiding. You know, we say one thing with our lips, but sometimes the heart is the opposite. The Bible talks about blessings and cursings. The truth, one day, will be known. 2 Peter, be genuine in your hearts, or it'll be made known. Luke 12 talks about that. 1 Corinthians 3:13 talks about the truth may be hidden for a while, but only for a while. And one day, it will all come to light at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I want to list several ways hypocrisy is seen. You won't be able to write them down as fast as I'm going to give them to you. And if I'd have known Paul was going to be here, I'd have had Melissa put them on the computer. It usually comes later. But anyway, I want to list several ways hypocrisy is seen. And note them in your mind. This is how it's seen in young people. They pretend to obey their parents, but inwardly, they're rebellious. They do what they're told to do. They can't stand it. They're hypocrisy. Criticizing others' failures when my spiritual problems are very similar to those. Pretending to care for others while being bitter, resentful, and angry. Saying one thing with my lips, but in my heart I think something differently. saying I love you to somebody, but you know you really don't. Telling what I want others to hear and think about me instead of what is true. Being afraid of what others will think if they knew what I am inside. So that's why you got to cover it up. Pretending to have it all together. Some people can pretend well to have it all together, but that doesn't mean they do. Dishonesty in sharing my weaknesses with others. Lying about things that happened to cover up what I did. Lying to gain acceptance. Identifying others' problems and not seeing my own. Asking others to do things that I'm unwilling to do. Those are all marks of a hypocrite. Now, if you noted some of those in your life, you might want to take care of that. What about hypocrisy to God? Pretending to be close to God when not desiring or enjoying a relationship with Him. Anybody that has a good relationship spends quality time together. In fact, and I know people do this, we give people like a love language test to take, and they try to figure out their spouse's love language and say, I need to speak this because this is their top love language. But every single couple, QT, has got to be somewhere. Quality time together. It's critical to every single relationship, including your relationship with the Lord. So if you're going to be close to God or pretend to be close to God, you better be enjoying a real intimate relationship with Him, or you're not as close to God as you pretend to be or think you are. Practice religious activities to be seen and to be praised of men. That's, you know, we had a guy come down here from the North Country several years ago. He didn't stick around long. About 1 week he was here, he wanted to know if he could be a deacon. I didn't even know the guy. I said, well, not yet, you can't. And I kind of blew it off, if you want to know the truth. Then a little while later, everything he did in the church, he told me about it. Everything. And it was like he would do this religious activity, but he wanted to make sure the pastor saw it. I think this. If I saw all the stuff that he did, and if I didn't see it, he let me know about it anyway, then that would make me want to elevate him to the position of a deacon. Well, he never got elevated to the position of the deacon, and he was only around here about 3 months anyway, and then he left. I don't know what he was thinking, to be honest. I called the pastor from the church that he came from, and the first question out of his mouth was, has he asked you about being a deacon yet? I said, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, he has. So this wasn't the first place where that fella had done that. Pretending to be excited about fellowship when in reality you only want to impress them with your spirituality. Giving money to gain the praises of men. Jesus dealt with all of these in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. Fasting to impress others with your spirituality. Pretending to be excited about serving God. I do it out of obligation because I have to. Well, that shouldn't be it. Pretending to live a holy life, but inwardly you're not. Pretending to be spiritual when you're not. Saying, Lord, I love you, but you walk in disobedience. Remember when Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say? Saying I'm close and intimate with the Lord and never spend time in prayer, never spend time in your Bibles, never enjoy the Word of God. I obey God only because of fear of what others will think of me, but I want people to have a good opinion of me. You know, after that'll only last for so long. And then after a while, you'll just quit. And your true colors will come out. Making spiritual decisions based on others' expectations of me. That can be very dangerous. As a pastor, we've had some young men in our church that I have had very high expectations of. But I don't always tell them what they are. Because I don't want to play Holy Spirit. Because they might say, well, the pastor thinks I should do this. I don't think God wants me to do this. But if that's his expectations for me, I better do it. You know, that can be, I could set you up for big time failure on that. So what do you replace hypocrisy with? The first one's pretty simple. Be real. Just be real. Around your kids, be real. I mean, if you're going to have a relationship with God, then get serious about your relationship with God. If you're not, don't pretend that you do. Be real. Be honest. Learn to genuinely love. When I say be real, this is a true statement, a sad statement, but a true statement. The more conservative the home, the more opportunity for hypocrisy. We have had people come from all realms of life. But I've seen some people, don't get mad at me, ladies, they're usually women. No, don't get mad. It's just a fact. That when somebody walks in the church, they go like this. This is to another woman. You're not spiritual because I just examined you with my eyes and I just concluded that you're not spiritual. That's stupid. That's a spiritual Greek word you're going to hear today right there. You can't say that. You don't know that. What if somebody came in here today? I don't like to pick on people when they're not here. Otherwise, you know, they call it gossip. So I'll have to use it. If he comes later, I'll tell the story later. But sometimes people come to church looking like a bum. Maybe they just left. Maybe they're on vacation, traveling through. They wanted to be in church. So they don't have their Sunday best with them. I'd rather they came to church and sat under the ministry of the Word of God than not show up. Now, I wouldn't do that. I prepare to go to church when I go on vacation, but I don't always bring a tie, praise God. I don't always bring a suit. Truthfully, I never take a suit with me when I go on vacation, unless I know I'm speaking somewhere. I don't ever bring one, never. But I'm going to go to church. You'd go into a church without a suit and tie on, Pastor? Yeah. If I'm on vacation, if I was in Florida, I might even have a pullover shirt on, which I probably would. Yeah. You can't judge spirituality by the outward, what people look like. When we went to Bible college, we had to wear a tie every day to school. Girls had to wear a dress every day to school, or a skirt. I still don't know the difference, but anyway. They had to wear that. That was a mandatory thing. The problem is, it wasn't very few of those children and us guys didn't dress like that outside of college. I mean, we didn't wear a suit everywhere we went. We didn't put a tie on everywhere we went. If you come to the office on a weekday, I don't have a tie on every day. In fact, I was here the other day. Mrs. Gant saw me walk into church. I was going out back, okay? So I had my cutoff shirts on because I had a pair of blue jeans that had a hole in the knees. I can't stand holes in my pants. So I cut them off. But I was going out back. So picture me now. I got shorts, and my boots came up to here. I got lacrosse rubber boots, and I come walking into church to tell Melissa something. And Mrs. Gant looks at me and goes, okay, this is what she was. You know, I wasn't trying to impress anybody, I can tell you that. I was going out back in the grasses. I want to see how much damage got done from the storms last winter. It came to my mind to do it, so I did it. And I wasn't worried about impressing anybody. Don't be phony. Don't be a phony. The more conservative a home, and I believe in standards, law four standards. You got higher standards than me, good for you. The more opportunity for hypocrisy. And if you're hypocritical, you need to tell the Lord, Lord, I recognize that I have not been honest. I've been pretending outwardly what is not true in my heart. And I will be honest with you and with each other of hypocrisy in my heart. I choose to stay to be honest with you and others. Show me my sins and my faults and open my heart, Father, that I may be completely honest. You'll only replace hypocrisy with openness, truthfulness, and honesty from the heart. A hypocritical spirit does not please God, but a genuine does. And we are to be consistent. So if you're a fake, you need to get right with the Lord. Maybe you need to get saved, but you definitely need to get right with God. I said this when I started. There has to be a desire to please God. Now, I think this. I thought about this. I think dads sometimes can be hypocritical in this area. The area of priorities. What's most important in your life? Is it making money? Is it your hobbies? What is most important? I love the Lord. I go to 4 football games a year, 4 hockey games away, 4 NBA games away, 5 or 6 college basketball games, 5 or 6 college football games. Then we have family reunions, and then we have vacations. And when I have a Sunday free, I'll be in church. I might have 2 or 3 this year somewhere in there. That person doesn't have his priorities right. Here's a good principle to live by if you want to be godly. You take the schedule of the church, and then you try to match your schedule of your family to fit it the best that you can. Now, we have church every Sunday here, whether you're going on vacation or not, okay? So obviously you're going to miss those Sundays. We can't plan when we're going to be sick. Probably last Sunday night, I should not have preached. Man, did I get sick Sunday night after church during the middle of the night. Oh, I felt awful. And Monday wasn't so good either. But I feel like I have a responsibility. But the hypocrisy's got to go. And I'll close with this. If you live for the Lord, and I'm referring back to what we read in Deuteronomy 6. If you live for the Lord only on Sunday, but the rest of the week you curse, swear, involve yourselves in ungodly practices and different things. I've mentioned several already. By the way, I mentioned hypocrisy. I think I've mentioned this before. I read a Christian article that says 30 or 40% of pastors struggle with pornography. How in the world are you going to get up and preach against pornography when you go home and look at it, or I don't know if you do it at home, but wherever you do it? Pretty hard, wouldn't it be? But it happens all the time. That's a hypocrite. This matter of hypocrisy in your priorities. Your family has to be important. Your relationship with God has to be most important. But then the other things have to fall in line properly. There's some young men in our church, they've been dying to go fishing with me this summer. I'll confess my, they say confess your faults one to another. I ain't been fishing once yet this summer. Is that a sin, Mike? I thought it was. But anyway, what have you been, Mark? Once? But I hope to get out there sooner or later. It's later than sooner. Because right now, it's not a... I could make it a priority. We need to have a fish fry Friday night, so I need to go fishing. But I don't always fish just for the food. Sometimes I fish just to catch and release and whatever. So, but that's not a priority. Now, I enjoy it. I enjoy it immensely. But it's not a top priority. I got things I got to get done. We have to make sure in our priority list we're not hypocritical there. So dads, happy Father's Day. But be real. Be genuine. Don't be a hypocrite. Keep your priorities and live a well-balanced Christian life. Now, I've addressed the dads, but obviously that doesn't mean that a mom is okay for her to be a hypocrite. It doesn't mean teenagers can be a hypocrite. And nobody can be a hypocrite. This is an exclusive to dad, okay? You know that probably, right? Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around. Jared, throw a little soft music on if you would. Thank you, sir. I want you to examine your heart. And I know I rattled several things off quickly when I said make mental notes of these things in your head. But do you have hypocritical tendencies in your life? Or are you real, genuine, sincere? I'm going to be quiet here in just a moment, and I'm going to let you meditate on that whole concept. And I'm going to challenge you to get right with the Lord. You read, you can read more of what Jesus said to the hypocrites and about the hypocrites, Pharisees in the Bible particularly. And you just need to line your life up what His Word teaches. So I'll let you pray, I'll let you meditate, and then I'll pray here in just a few moments. Father, we are thankful for your word. And we know, I mean, I have to believe even without me saying what I said today, but I pray the Spirit of God will prompt every person's heart. Everybody has to know that that's a problem. That's a sin problem. And it's a sin problem that needs to be dealt with, particularly among God's people. Now, the Pharisees weren't saved. And they got blasted for it. May we teach our children to not necessarily live by a set of rules, but live by a relationship, an intimate, close relationship with their Heavenly Father. And Lord, I pray, God, that we would grow together in all this pretending. It'll stop. And people will be genuine, and they will be real, and they will be godly. So we can raise a godly generation. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, praise the Lord. If you want to get some of the